Gather ourselves together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might come together, Lord, to worship your great name and glorify it, and that your people, O Lord, could edify one another, Lord, in fellowship as well. And right now, Lord, as you approach thy word, once again, Father, as your Apostle Peter would say, that to bring things to our remembrance, Father, of the great things you have done for us, of the great things you have done for Israel, of the great things, Lord, you have done for the church and even for this sin-sick world that we live in. Lord, we know that time is fast closing and we are hastening, O Lord, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sure word of prophecy according to thy sacred scripture that thou hast it written down for us, Lord, for our admonition, O Lord, for our edification, for our pathway, O Lord, that you have laid down all those footsteps, all those footprints, O Lord, of the prophets and apostles and saints of old will walk before us, Lord, and their life testimony, O Lord, that are recorded, O Father, for our admonition, that we may see and understand of the things, O Lord, you have done for them and what you are doing, O Lord, even in our life today and what will be coming ahead of us. So, Lord, as you learn to thy scripture today, we ask for your grace now, that you bless our heart, Lord, and that we understand what you are going to show us, Father, and bring things to our remembrance once again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you have just seen this video, and I think there's a whole lot of this kind of video on the YouTube regarding the state of Israel. I want to talk about this subject of which we have dealt with something like 10 years ago or so, or 8 years ago, and The first time I preached it was in 1984. And I still remember this subject very well because it's one of my favorite subjects that I love to talk about, because it makes us to see who we are. And the fact that why we are here, why this very revelation of God is made known to us. So turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. This will be a series of talk on this and on this subject. I call it, I entitled it the mystery of His purpose. The mystery of God's purpose. The mystery of His purpose. We can also call it, we are His workmanship. Thing that we should always remember. The mystery of His purpose is not made known to everybody. The world population today stands at, well, almost 7 billion, I think. And if we go back and throughout history, for all those that died in ages past, you add up all the sums of people that were born and died, and the population today, and plus maybe in the next few years, how many babies will be born. So, what is the population of this world since the day that Adam and Eve were created? Now, I don't know how they would calculate that. But if you were to take the sum of 7 billion today, and we look back and say, put another 10 billion before us, those that died. Of course, when we say 7 billion today, I was born in 1948. Okay, so if you go back to 1948, before 1948, I wasn't born yet. So when we talk about the population today, we're talking about some kind of, plus, minus, death and birth and things like that. But just roughly say that if we have 20 billion people since the day of Adam and Eve, it's possible, right? That's a lot of people. But of all these people that were born before us, and those that exist today, and those that maybe in the next couple of years, if the Lord Jesus didn't perish, right, and not return back, there are many of these people, Jesus Christ, when we know the Bible says Jesus Christ loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And yet we know that that is just a basic statement, and yet a lot of people miss the point of what belief in Christ really means. And we know that the word in Greek, pistio, means to say that you have to have a total reliance on Him. But there are a lot of people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I know I believe in Him. I'm going to heaven. And they spend their life the way they want to spend their life. And we know that you cannot base on one text of Scripture, one verse of Scripture alone, and take for that verse and say, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. The Bible also says that the devil also believed, but he trembled. He didn't say, I'm going to be saved, but he trembled. Total reliance, the word faith is a total reliance on what Jesus had done for you and what He demands of you. People say, well, grace is free. So why? What is there a demand? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. So there's one demand. So we say, a commandment. You cannot say you love Jesus Christ and say, I believe in Him, and then you do whatever you want to. And even as Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. And the prisoner have no rights. Isn't it true? Yes. Why do we worship, people worship God, and when they praise the Lord, they lift up their hands? It's a sign of surrender, obviously. I mean, that's what, in wartime, if you're hiding in the cave and here comes a platoon of soldiers looking out for, searching for, enemies. And you know they're coming and you are the only one. So what do? Have a piece of white cloth and you wave and you lift up your hand and surrender. Because if your hand is down, they're going to shoot you. You don't know what you're carrying in your hand. The words will lift up your hand. And when you say that you really love the Lord, you surrender to Him. But today it is not true among many Christians. So now when we look into this, when we talk about the mystery of His purpose, this is one thing that, as the Bible calls it, or we take the mystery of His purpose, as Paul would use the word mystery. Because a lot of people don't understand what is the purpose of their life on earth. Why you are born, why you grow up to be a little toddler, and mommy and daddy have to chase after you, grandpa have to enjoy your presence with him. And then, and then you grow up and go to school, and then go to university, get a job, married, have strings of kids, and then you grow old with all the pains and aches in your body, and then you suffer maybe a little pain, and then before you die. You might get pneumonia, you might get cancer, you might get TB, or you might get any kind of thing. And you go through life with all this suffering. You say, what is the purpose of life? You know. So, that's the reason why I don't blame people for saying, I don't believe in God. Why? Because they see so much suffering, they don't believe in God. You see, the thing is that God doesn't have to show Himself to you. As Louis says, if your mind, your attitude is not towards His direction, to God's direction, why would God want to reveal Himself to you? If your mind is, your direction is facing all about your career, about getting big money, aiming for 5C, get married, have a family. If your mind concentrates on it, if you are not drawn to the word of God, why would God go looking for you? It's your attitude. That is also important. So here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 here. Now remember, I'm taking out certain verses because I want to talk about this mystery of His purpose in your life, not in the life of the people of the world, because God, is not concerned about every one of the people in the world. Do you understand? Alright, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now here is the message to the church of Philadelphia. And that Philadelphia church is the church when John Wesley was around. But even in any church, this still applies to us. That we still must hold fast. That no man take away our crown. But you know what? I have seen many Christians fall along by the wayside and they give up the race and they jump around the hillside. And they are gone. Why? Because they are not holding fast to the faith. And we all know the doctrines of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. That's true. But the thing is, when you come into the presence of the Lord in the day when you are being judged at the Bema seat of Christ, what would you hold in your hand for Him? Anyone, as Paul said, every one of us, our life will be trial. And the things that we hold in our hand, would it be gold, silver, precious stones, or would it be just straw? There are many people, many Christians. They died being very unfruitful in life. Every Christian would have to go through a trial period. Trial and tribulation. Now that's in the past. They've gone through. Now for us in this hour, we are going through. Now I don't know what you're going through. Like Brother Clement said, you don't know what you're going through. Maybe your trial is greater than mine. Brother Rowley, the family went through recently because of his, health problem too. I'm going through mine. I don't know, some of you are going through yours. Life as a Christian is not a bed of roses. full of thorns. Every rose you get, you probably get a dozen thorns in there, one stalk. Without thorns, you don't get roses. So what is your trial? Is there a lot of pain in your life that you're going through? But always ask the question, why, Lord? Why is this demon going through? What's coming over on the other side? If I have to go through this, I will. Because I know you called me. And if God has called you, and you know that you have been called by the Lord, and you have this crown of life, what would you do with this crown? Would you carelessly just, not pay attention to holding fast to it and let somebody else touch it away? Not necessarily somebody else, but the devil, of course, through somebody else. The devil has a way of trying to bring and destroy people's life from the very beginning. And I want to say you, tell you this. You are a mechanism. Your life. Your body is just like a machine. You all know that, don't you? And you have a computer up here. Huh? Isn't it? But it takes a dynamic to move this mechanic. And the whole world out here that's full of spirits, a lot of voices. The Bible teaches us this. And intelligent people, the scientists and smart people and people are so well educated, they don't believe in God. They are either atheist or Gnostic. They just do not believe in God. But they can say, I don't believe in God. I don't know whether he exists or not. If he exists, let him be. Because there are so many religions. This one says his religion is true. That one says her religion is true. And so, which one is true? That is obvious, isn't it? But the evidence of which one is true is out there. But the thing is, nobody looks for it. Nobody cares for it. I wasn't looking for religion when I was a young boy, young little kid. My mom, my dad's first wife, she was a Buddhist, a Taoist, mixing all their... All the time, whether you're Buddhist or Taoist, sometimes they just embrace together, even Confucianism and all these other things. So when I was a kid, as I said, when there's festival comes, there's always the altar there, worship to Topekong. I don't know, there's a painting of one with, white beard. I think that's Topekong. Okay, it's a picture of that. So. And they will have chicken and a pig head, a little piglet head, and roast it, and then put it on the altar and offer it, and then on the festival of day, we children have to gather together and take three joysticks and, in the fire, pay respect or worship whatever, bow, three times or what, three steak three times and that. And everybody is happy because that food, the chicken and the pig blood is going to come into our stomach. So, we just something that, but when I was young, I know that doesn't make sense, but, I wasn't looking for religion. I know it's kind of strange having another just them. But when I grew up and I began to realize that when I hear the name of Jesus Christ, when my mom talked to me about Jesus, and then tell me a story about his life, now there is something about this Jesus that make me want to inquire more about it. Now there is always that dynamic. And I said this one thing, that your life, you have a spirit within you, which is God given to you to live. If that spirit, which is called the breath, if it's taken away from you, you die. And then there is the spirit of God himself, who come quicken into your life, so he could lead you and guide you. But out there is the spirit of the devil. And you hear all the voices out there. Not just Satan himself, but we always use the word Satan because he has the whole of them. Fallen angels, demons, Tuikia, we call that, whatever, in Chinese, that he commanded. And there is always the spirit of fornication, the spirit of, depression, the spirit of desire, craving, murderous spirit, spirit of lies, cheat, the spirit of pride, jealousy, all the spirits out there working in people's life. And if your life, if your word is your, if your life is not centered in the Word of God. Now I'm talking about Christian now. I know that there are a lot of people who are not Christian, they are good life because, well, they meditate perhaps, they do all kinds of things to keep away from the sins of the world, as they would say. You know, do good works. You know, in the paper, I think just 2 days ago, the total draw. Total. So we have two persons in Singapore now who is $6 million rich. What do you think is going to be in his life? What do you say? How would this $6 million affect their life? You do not know. A lot of people think that, wow, if you get that millions of dollars, it will be, do you a whole lot of good. I can tell you one thing, it can even bring you misery. Do you know? Yes. If it is a Filipino man that won a $6 million, the moment he stepped home, if nobody knows she won that money, had that amount of money, but you start to buy things, you know, and move away, and then other siblings would know, say, where did she get? She wanted to go to a bigger, you know, maybe a bigger apartment, bigger house, buy something, something is strange. You know? And people inquire, they'll come, they're pressured. Now, all kinds of things can happen. You know. So, all this spirit is out there is working in people's life. This is a dynamic that works in every one of us. Here we are as a Christian. We have this crown of life. Let us hold fast to it. Now you watch that video clip. I said this. What we are seeing today in the Middle East concerning Israel, concerning the enemies of Israel, and you just was given a brief history of Israel. We know that Israel, the land of Israel, has always been given, has always been Israel's land, since the day that God gave it to them. There are no such thing as Palestinian. We all know that. Alright? The land was originally called years and years back called Philistine. Not Palestinian. Not Palestine. So now that when God gives that land to Israel, now I want you to know that, and I will tell you this for sure. If Israel was to pass away, if Israel ceased to exist, I can guarantee you one thing, the world will cease to exist. You may be thinking I'm talking nonsense. Let's go to the Bible, Jeremiah. I want to show you what the Word of God said. Unless you don't believe the Bible, but if you believe the Bible, how do you, the interesting thing is, why do we believe in the Bible? Because it is the only book in the world that has been proven to be supernaturally written. You all know that, don't you? And God in this 20th century have established the fact, even by science, that this Bible could not have been written by ordinary people. 66 volume book written by about 40 authors over the span of how many years? Almost 4,000 years span of people's life. And authors do not even know the other. Many of them, they don't know each other. And yet there is a designer that wrote this. Sadly enough, Brother Andrew Peary, you know, when he was in the Philippines, when he came here, you know, when he went to the Philippines before he came back, came here. Now his testimony is, I posted it on the website. You know what he said when he went to the Philippines, and then he was standing by on the roadside, I think when he was waiting for transport. And so when he was standing there, all these Filipino young people were gathered around him. Because It's very rare for them to see an African. So Andrew Bill was standing there, all these kids gathered around, and after that the women are also gathering around and all that. So he became a sort of amusement for these people. And then suddenly he began to say, "Do you want to hear a story?" So he started telling them a small story. He said, I think he goes something like that, "Why am I blind?" He said, "Because I'm burned by the sun," or something like that. And, you know, "And why are you white?" And so on and so forth. Then he said, "Okay, let me, if I cut myself, what color is the blood?" And I said, "Red." "Yes, red, of course. What if you cut yourself? What color is that?" "It's still red." "Then how come you are not black? And how come I'm not like you?" "Because there is a designer." And that's the why when we come to racism in the world today, and that even those people who hate the black, especially the white supremacists, they hate the black. So much so they don't realize that even when they are in hospital dying and they need a blood transfusion, there have been cases like that. That the blood belongs to a black man. So how could a black man's blood enter into a white man's body? Strange, isn't it? But people think that you're black, the blood is different from me. Huh? "Have you seen a black chicken here? We have a black chicken in Africa." I told them, "I have seen a black chicken." They said, "No, we never seen a black chicken." They thought I was joking. "You know, if there's a black man, there must be a black chicken too." So I said, "Do you know what? Everything about the chicken is black. Outside is white feather. You take away the white feather, all you have is black skin, black muscle, black leg, black feet. But when you cut the chicken and slaughter it, what color is the blood? It's still red." Huh? Animal blood has always been red. Birds always been red. Huh? Isn't it so? So you see, people, they say, "I don't believe in God." But the Bible gives us the evidence. Sure, the people say, "Prove to me God." "No, I can't prove to you God." But the evidence out there, that's what the Bible said in the book of Hebrew. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is that right? The evidence of God, they all out, not just one evidence. There are many. They are out there. When I see a baby smile, what do I see? I see God in the baby smile. Some people, they don't. I don't know what they see in the baby smile. Is it a joy? So, here we look in Jeremiah chapter 31. And now we have verse 36. And we see what the Bible here says now. "If those ordinances depart from before me, said the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever." Now, if the ordinances that God gave to Israel, or even the ordinances that is laid down for general mankind, of course, we all know in the first place the oracle came to us through Israel. You understand? So why Israel? Because God has chosen Israel. The world back then, when sin came into the world, and we find that there is so much wickedness, so God had to destroy mankind. That's why He sent a flood. And after the flood, what we have? We have three sons of Noah: Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And the world began to multiply. But what then? There's no much difference too, because after the flood, the wickedness still persists. In the case of, you see, Cush, Nimrod, men who challenged God, who defied God's ordinances, an ordinance, you know, as to say, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So what did God do? After He, you know, destroyed the Tower of Babel, causing people to migrate, then one day He chose a man called Abraham. When he chose Abraham, God had a purpose, right? And it's through Abraham descended Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And it is through this nation, and under the name of Israel, because that's the name of Abraham's grandson. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, you know that. Now, the ordinances was given to Israel. And God said, if these ordinances, what did he say here, were to depart from before me. If I were to remove it, now I've given it to them. If I were to remove it, Israel would cease. If Israel ceased to exist, the world will also cease to exist. Why? Because God says, if I take back my ordinances, Israel whom I've chosen will be gone. The world which I've created will be gone. Simple as that, one leads to another. A domino. Do you see what I'm talking about? We are here this morning because of Israel. Don't forget that. Look at what we have today in this world. Look at all, many of these high tech, the technology, medical technology, medical scientific discovery, or whether it is technology, whether it's electronic things, how many percent of this discovery were actually from Israel? The achievement of Nobel Prizes, many of them went to Israel. Isn't it so? Yes. Sometimes we don't seem to realize your computer, the stuff that you play with, Intel and all this, your USB, thumb drive, it came from Israel. Even the invention of the hot stand came from Israel. Singapore got it here and they improved on it. The same thing in the USB. Huh? And they have weapons. Israel have even do a lot of research. Who built it? Who discovered the atomic bomb? Of course, unfortunately, we may say, if you like, that ends the Second World War. Of course, lots of people died, but the Americans would be using it, misuse it, so to speak. Nagasaki, Hiroshima. You can read the history. Israel, discovery, is meant for good. But some people will misuse it. So, look at Israel today. God has a purpose for them. Even right now, when God brought them back to their land in 1948, you see how much they are still suffering. And in the news today, America, Europe, many of them have just gone crazy. Bullying the Prime Minister of Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu. Who have been trying to warn them of what is going to happen when Iran is not stopped. But nevertheless, since Israel was blinded, for the reason that we may come to the gospel, they are still not able to see lots of things that the Bible foretold about them. Huh? They can read Ezekiel, but they will not know, could not perhaps understand. Why is there so much trouble out there in Russia with all these other little nations all around them? Putin is putting in a bad light. But these are Bible prophecy, brothers and sisters. These are Bible prophecy coming to fulfillment. The other day I was on Skype talking to Sister Breen. You know, Brother John Mark passed away at the age of 60 years old. And he was such a great apostle of God out there in Uganda and the surrounding nations. And nobody expected him to die. So, when he passed away, lots of people were shocked. They just want to know, they were just thinking, what's happening now? Because we who live in this generation, we are expecting the Lord Jesus to return. So Sister Brie asked me, she said, Peregrine, will you live to see Christ coming? Will you live to see Christ coming? And you know what? That's a question we always ask. Would we all live to see Christ coming? I said, young people, of course. Sooner or later, Christ is going to come for your age. Even my son's age. But for me, I'm 67. And I have 3 more years to 70. And I expect and looking forward to prophecy that there is going to be a war in the Middle East. They wake up Israel to the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I don't expect myself to die. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. But now when we talk about this, yeah, we look toward the coming of the Lord. How much do you rest upon that faith that you have in Christ? That you're going to be a part of the rapture. Is rapture real to you? It's not what the church teaches out there. Because we know that it isn't for everybody. The Bible shows us example here and there. It's always a minority. And so much so that when they're caught away, nobody knows. Except those that they have to give a legacy and leave the legacy behind and pass it on. Enoch, Elijah, Jesus. Is that not true? So if we believe that we are going to make rapture, let us hold fast to this crown that we have. And remember that there is this purpose of God in our life. Alright, we look at Abraham. Abraham was called. Let us go to Romans now. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Well, I think we should read a little bit further up so that at least we can get a bearing. Let's read from verse 13. Alright, this is the promise that is to be realized. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heirs of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. So now you must understand that the gospel that God gave to us is not about circumcision of the foreskin, but the circumcision of the heart. It is by faith. Okay? Salvation is not by the law, but by faith. And that's one of the word faith, spider towards. But it's kind of big. What is faith? What is faith, actually? Again, faith is something that you rely on, something that you trust in. I have faith in you. means I trust in you, what you said you would do for me. So I trust in what you say. So we trust in God, what He promised. But what makes you certainly trust in that person? Now in everyday life, many times we trust. We go to the market, we ask the fishmonger, is this fresh fish? Say, yeah, it's fish, fresh, no worry. But you look suspicious. But he said, trust me, it's okay. But if you do not know the man enough, you will not trust him. If you are the first time buyer from that fishmonger, you cannot simply trust him. Give it a try first. And if you know that it's not flesh, next time don't go to him. Or you come back to him and say, you are a liar. Trust is somebody that you know you can believe because he holds to his word and he keeps his promise. And God is one person, one being that keeps his promise. God cannot lie. Isn't it so? Yes. Because when he makes a vow, he swears by himself. So these are the two immutable things that he cannot lie. Yes. And we have seen this Bible. Now this Bible is an old book. I mean it's 4,000 years old. From the day that Abraham started writing it. I mean that's a long time. And the last book of course was back in the days of John, the Apostles. 96 AD. So this is a very old book. We can look into it and say, yeah, we can trust because this happened, and he fulfilled it. And I know I can trust in him, I can believe in him, is because my life has been changed. But the word that he said, and I believe, and I know that he deals my life every day, he had dealt with it in the past, the day that I give my life to him, I repent of my sin, there is something special that happened. I don't know what it is to you. Something happened, it was when the Holy Spirit came and quickened me. And I became a different person. Right? You all remember, I don't know, how many of you know David Wilkinson? You heard the name David Wilkinson? Yes. You heard about the name of Nicky Cruz? You don't know, he's the Mau Mau tribe. Gangster, number one in New York. He was a fierce man. He was a gangster. Hardcore gangster. And he wouldn't believe in God. And you know, David Wilkinson, a small little, skinny little preacher. He took the gospel to these gangsters. And they were harassing him and he was fearless. And Nicky Cruz says, I'll cut you into pieces. You come back again, I'll cut you. And David Wilkinson looked at him and said, this is a man that he wants to get Christ to convert him, his life. He knows that he is living in sin. And David Wilkinson prayed for him and he go back to him and preached to him. And Nicky Cruz just said, if you come out, I'm going to cut you to pieces. And David Wilkinson said, if you cut me into pieces, every piece will cry out to you, Jesus loves you. And Nicky Cruz later on became a changed man. The police forces know him. The police department, they knew him. The people around that area knows him. You know, but they saw his life was changed. They marveled. Because this man was completely changed. And Nicky Cruz became a preacher. Do you see? If God can change your life when you are not a hardcore liar, cheater, whatever you are, huh? We are all just more or less average, right? Yeah, we do lie once a while, those back then. Maybe even some of you are still lying once a while now. They think it is a white lie, that's okay. I mean, we are just average people. We are not those bad extremists, huh? the tattoo guy with all this gangster look, with this all, you know. If God can change us so simply, what about those hardcore? And have God changed them? So there is a purpose of what God is doing to individual life if the direction is turned right to Him. So we are here now, Paul said that the faith concerning this gospel, it is nothing to do with law, but it's what God gave it to you to see. That's why I said, the day when Christ comes into your life, what happened? What happened? There are some people, you know, like most babies, when they are born into the world, the moment they come into the world, everything is already taken, the first breath, the guy will howl like anything. Wah, wah, you know, things like that, you know. Then the mother and daddy say, oh, I'm so glad. But some of them, doesn't seem to be crying very loud. So everybody's reaction is different. Even when you come to Christ, I don't know, the day when Christ came into my life, a whole lot of things changed. My whole perspective of life changed. You know. I don't know about you. I'm not saying that you must feel something, but some people do, some people don't seem to feel anything. Isn't it true? I know some of you brother here and sister here, when you come into this room, you seem to be smelling something in the air, but I don't smell it. You know? So the same thing with your life in Christ. So faith is a revelation, something that is given to you, and you can see it. He said, yes, I believe in God, I believe in Him. But something must be given to quicken you to see. And that's what Paul says about, it's not by keeping the law, it's by faith. Alright, we'll go further and see what he says here. Verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. The law worketh wrath. Now, you go and tell a person, hey, you are a sinner. The guy who doesn't believe in God, I beg your pardon, say that again. He said, you are a sinner. I said, what have I done that you call me a sinner? I'm not cheat. I'm not lying. I'm not steal. All this, huh? If you tell the preacher and said, the Bible said, oh, I have sinned, but comes from the glory of God. God, look at you, you know, what do you mean by that? All my life I'm a very good boy, I know, I help my mommy and daddy, I never speak lie, I'm such a good boy, my mom said so, my grandfather said so, I go to school, my teacher said, I'm the teacher's pet, I'm the best, now you're telling me that I'm a sinner. What is it they have done? Isn't it true? You see, but the law, when you tell a person about the law, it brings wrath, it brings anger. You tell me, what do you mean? Even as Paul said, without the law, I do not know I'm a sinner. If I have stolen something, I didn't know that it was wrong. I feel the Bible said, the law said, thou shalt not steal. You know, in certain countries, there are a lot of countries in Africa still, a lot of villages, there's no law. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? You're like in the jungle of Karamunja. What law is that? They're only the tribal law that they have for themselves. Huh? Here in Singapore, there's one set of national law. In another country, the law are pretty different. So, Paul said, because the law works wrong, for where there's no law, there's no transgression. That is true. That's why what Paul talks about Adam and Eve, Adam's sin. You know? Because that time the law wasn't even given. Do you see? Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Our Paul said in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Isn't that so? So here Paul said, therefore it is of faith that
it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them only which is of the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Remember, this Paul was talking to, not just to the Jew, because this is a book written to the Romans. Right? To the people who live in Rome. Many of them are Romans. They are Greek. They are all different races. Of course, there are some Jews there too. This is the church that was there at Rome, in Rome. You understand? So, he says here, that to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now here is where the mystery lies in. The mystery of God's purpose. It is centered around Abraham's faith. Because it is into Abraham that God gives the revelation. Abraham, you know where Abraham came from. Living out there in Mesopotamia, Ur of Chaldees, father, grandfather, cousin, niece. Many of them were just idolaters. Worship all kinds of idols. Even Abraham's children kept some idol. See? And Abraham committed iniquity. Wasn't good. He committed iniquity to his wife, Sarah. And his son, Isaac, did the same. And Jacob did the same. All committed iniquity until God brought Jacob. You know, you remember how he wrestled with the angel of God? God has to change him. Abraham went through a trial. How many years did he go through before he got his promised son? He was 75 years old and God promised him a son at 75 years old. When did he get his son? When he was 100, 25 years. 25 years, right? I mean, probably the servants around him and people who live around him heard of his testimony. Oh, I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a father. God promised me a son. And his wife said, okay, old man, you're crazy. It has been how many years right now? I'm drying up. And you say that your God is going to give you a son through me? You know, it is not easy when you testify your faith. Now, how many of you are still testifying that Christ is coming? That you're going to live to see the rapture. That you want to go into the rapture. How many of you believe that the system of this world is going to close up soon? After all, you see prophecy coming to pass now. What is the greatest prophecy of our time? Of our time? Oh! Well, we can say, well, not your time. Some of you are already born before, past 48. The greatest miracle that happened in the 20th century is the birth, the rebirth of Israel. The Bible said in one day, a nation be born. Who ever heard of it? Can a nation be born in one day? The Bible talks about it, and it said a nation be born in one day. And we have Israel in one day became a nation. Is it possible? In one day, just one day, 24 hours, Israel became a nation. And you know, out there when God gave the land of Israel back to Israel, when they came over to Israel, what do they see of that land? The whole land was barren. And you know that land was originally the Garden of Eden. The land of Canaan. Fruitful. Right? Very fruitful land. But when Israel back then in the year 70 AD was thrown out into the world in a great diaspora. They were scattered all over the world because God says that He's going to put them into that trial because they rejected my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So the Jew was scattered. But God, in the word of Daniel, how many thousand years ago, promised that Israel will return back and in one day be a nation. These are prophecies of the Bible. So you can believe the Bible? Can you ever find that? Any scriptural books of any religion that tells you everything like this? The Bible tells you about the war. Our planet Earth was hanging nothing. Hang upon nothing. And is it not true that our Earth, planet Earth, is hanging out in space upon nothing? Floating out there in the universe? The Bible said that, and the Bible said it is round. And the whole universe, the only place where life is to be found is the planet Earth. The scientists can spend billions and billions of dollars trying to find life on other planets. They're just wasting the money. They won't find. The Bible is true. So if you see Israel coming back to the land in 1948, when they saw the land, nothing grows out there. Weeds, wild weeds. Thorn and tassels all over the place. Why? Since the day that they left Israel in 1780, and when they came back in 1948, within that period of time, you got all kinds of people living there. The nomads, the Turks, the Arabic people, the Persian people, they live out there, but nobody cares about the land. It wasn't even a nation. Nobody claimed it. Nobody, it belongs to nobody, literally. But when Israel came back, and just as the Bible said, the desert will bloom like a rose. And look, go to Israel today and see what happened. Within less than a decade, the land stopped flourishing. Where did it come from? God said so, it will be. All the people start to work. They irrigate the land and the land start to blossom. And that's why we have the best fruits that come from that land. If you remember, now you don't get it in Singapore. I said this many times. Years ago when I was young, 1970, I still could buy the oranges called Jaffa. You heard of that name? J-A-F-F-A. You don't find it today, do you? How many of you still, do you think it's still here? I've never seen it. Why? It was so sweet and so circular, so nice. What happened back then? It was reported in the paper. The enemy of Israel put arsenic into some of these crates of oranges. You know. So people feared to buy them. Because you never know which crate will arrive to what country, and you find that people start eating that and people get deaf as a result. The enemy of Israel, this Arabic, this extremist, even out there in the world, all different colors of people, they just turn against Israel. But do you think Israel will die? No. Because God is fighting for Israel. Israel has a nation so small. All the nations around about Israel are attacking them. And God always stands behind them to push them back. God promised that. Remember the time of Gideon. I like that story. To fight those giants there and those Philistines. There are so many soldiers, right? God says, no, I don't need so many. Tell them to go home. So those have wives and those they are tired, weak, and all. Go home. But many of them won't fight for glory, you know. And God told Gideon, well, just ask them to go and drink water from the brook. And I'll tell you who to select. So, well, they went to the water, and those who put their two hands together to draw water and cup into their mouth, God said, reject the guy. But the guy who had one sword in the hand and that one hand draw water and drink, take the guy. And he limit down to Gideon 300. That's why they make a movie about Gideon's 300 or the 300. Yes. God don't need 3,000 to fight for him. 300. and one of them was set 10% to run. Israel, what is the population of Israel? Size of Singapore. Population. How many millions are out there in the surrounding country? Who is fighting for Israel? God promised, I'll fight for you. All I want to do is a faith. But you know one thing about it? Even Israel today don't even realize that. Yes, there are still a lot of good Jews, faithful Jews, but God keep His word. Why? For the sake of Abraham. He make this covenant with Abraham, he must keep it. No matter how stubborn the people are, he will keep the promise. That's why Israel cannot cease. Isn't it true? Yes, but there's going to come a bigger war. And I believe we are going to see it in our lifetime. Hopefully within the next few years. Because I'm tired to waiting. Are we all tired of waiting, don't we? Abraham was tired of waiting. Well, he kept on waiting. No problem, he kept on waiting. But his wife was tired of waiting. So he told me, oh man, come on, I'm getting old now. Why don't you get the maid, Hagar, and go into her? Maybe that's what God was trying to tell you. Not to me, through someone else. A concubine. Use a concubine, a mistress. Abraham said, no, it's to you. So he waited for 25 years. Huh? I've been a Christian before I was 12 years old, so I've been waiting quite long now. Isn't it true? 50 odd years now. Still waiting for the coming of the Lord. And I believe He'll come. This world is sick. Let's go on and finish this part here. Now he says that to which is of the faith of Abraham, last part of 16, who is the father of our soul? He is the father of our soul. The father of our faith. Now I want you to remember. Okay, our faith is traced back to Abraham. Always remember this. Without Abraham, this faith is not there. Because God chose to do it that way. Okay? Alright. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, as he promised Abraham. I'll make you a father of many nations. Now that is not possible for a man to be a father of many nations. Because he could only be the father of a son. And then his son, Isaac, and for father, Jacob, then they all become Israel. Israel will be the nation. Okay, that is natural seed, which was given to him, Isaac. But when God said, you will be a father of many nations, look at the star, count them if you can. So shall your seed be. Count the sand in the seashore. If you can count them, if you can, so will your descendant be. So Abraham was the father of two nations. Two great nations of people. The first nation, Israel general. The nation of Gentiles. Nations of many nations of all these different nations, Gentile nations. But the nation of Gentile people that believe in Christ. And yet we all came from different nations. Yes. Father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. I rest upon that. God called those things that were not as though they were. Even though things do not exist, God considered them already exist. Because why? He knew all things from the beginning. And He had already a purpose and a plan. Do you know before you exist, He saw you. Thousands of years ago. Back even before the world was created. Before this earth was created. He saw you. And if He saw you, He was aware of you when He chose you. Remember, man, no man seek after God. God seek after man. How many people say, I was looking for God? No, it is not true. You say you were looking for God because there was something tucking at you. It's because God was looking at you.
God was calling you. That spirit that is moving was talking in the still small voice, standing at the door of your heart and knock. And you want you to open up. Nobody really looks for God. Honestly, come on. Right? All I know is when a baby is born, what he looks for is milk. When he grows up into a toddler, what he looks for is still food. And then some toys to play. Huh? And primary school, well, maybe a young man will go and go play football, play some games, and go up into secondary school. Now when his body began to change, the hormone began to function, he began to look for a boy, or a girl look for, a boy look for a girl look for a boy, maybe. And then growing up, maybe he said, okay, I'm looking for fast car. So walk his way up, or he is looking for something other than God. If God do not whisper to him, God do not tug at his soul and his spirit, I can tell you, nobody look for God. Honestly speaking. Huh? I have seen Hindus. I know Hindus that would turn to God. He was living the life of being a Hindu, doing all that he was told to do in the religion. And you can see sometimes even in the Philippines, during Holy Week especially, huh? Every time you see, not just in the Philippines, but also in other countries like Nicaragua and all those Central America where they are predominantly Roman Catholic. And many of them will go through this acting of the crucifixion. Right? And they whip themselves. Or they even go to the crucifixion, not only just be tied up and hoisted up, but even a real nail into their hands and their feet. They think that this will, well, give them eternal life. Huh? People immolation, huh? People did all, do all these things to their own body as if that they will, you know, have some favor from in the eyes of God, that they deserved to be in heaven. Or some will go and live in a cave and be like a hermit and meditate. They think that they warrant this life. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, these are general. What about those of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the came to Jesus Christ? They're supposed to be religious people. They're supposed to know the Word of God, know the Lord of God, and yet they came to Jesus Christ so self-righteous. And Jesus called them snakes and vipers. Huh? And Jesus said to them, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You think you can warrant alive in heaven because you are good? No one is good. No, not one. Even Jesus said, when the disciple came to him and said, good master, Jesus said, why call me good? There's no one good but God. You see. So, when we look at what Paul has said now, before him whom he believed, even God who had quickened us from the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. When is eternal life? When is eternal life? Oh, when I die, I will have eternal life. Oh, that's not true. Either you have eternal life right now, or you don't have it. Do you know that you have eternal life now? If you repent of your sin and be quickened by the Holy Spirit, do you know that you have eternal life right now? So if you don't have eternal life right now, that means you're not going to get it anyway. It's either now or never. See? So if you have eternal life now, if people have eternal life, why are these Christians out there beating themselves and hanging themselves on the cross? You see, that is what we talk about, the revelation.
The mystery of God's purpose in your life, how He works in your life, what He showed you. And I can tell you one thing for sure, that you and I are privileged people to know what God is showing us. A lot of people don't want to learn the Word of God. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the general people out there. As Christians, we should have a desire for this Word. And I emphasize time and time again, there must be a desire for this Word of God. For the Holy Scripture, the sacred Scripture. People find it's a bothersome thing to just to take the Bible and read it. And especially reading in King James language. Thou, thou, so, so. You know, thee. And some people say, it's so hard to understand. So they don't read. And to read those paraphrased Bible. It's easy to read, but it's funny, it's very strange sentences. The translation make it terrible. You know, sometimes I just compare to what this different, one of them is called a contemporary English version, CEV. The translation, the paraphrase from is so horrible. The sense of truth is lost. It's just like a story that makes no sense. The Bible is not for everybody, that's for sure. It's a book full of mysteries because God don't want everybody to know. That's what Jesus told the disciples. But to you, Jesus told the disciples, is make known the mystery of the kingdom of God. So we know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but now we're talking about the mystery of His purpose in your life, my life, for Israel, and what's going to happen to the world. But mainly, the mystery of His purpose in your life. Verse 18, who against hope believe in hope that He might become the father of many nations? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know, He said, Paul talking about Abraham, who against hope, believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Hope against hope, that he will be the father of many nations. God said, you will be a father of many nations. So 1 year passed. Well, he tried very hard with Sarah. You know, Sarah is 65, he was 75. Sarah's probably kind of a... But still, in those days they can live. Remember how they could live 180 years or so, huh? So, today's people menopause at 55. Around that. Some early as 50. Some could be, well, fortunately not many, up to 60. But most around 55. Okay, menopause stays going down. So, why 55? Because you see, men's life today can live up to 120 years, according to the Bible says. Okay, the reason why we know not many people live up to 120 years is why? It's because of the disaster that is happening to this earth. Pollution, the food, pesticide. You know, sometimes you buy vegetable and you can see something is wrong with the vegetable. You know, when especially when you eat chai sim and kai lan, it's supposed to be sweet and nice. But when you taste it and you eat it, and it gives this bitterness, some kind of bitter taste, then you know that's filled with pesticide. It gives that kind of taste. And normally when we taste that, we throw that away because it's bad for health. But the farmer doesn't care. The vegetable looks so fresh and nice. Yeah, it's fresh and nice. But they add chemical to it. They put pesticide to keep away the... What? The bugs. So when you buy vegetables, my advice to you, look for the one that has holes and see caterpillars in it, buy it. And I'm not kidding you. Isn't it? No. Is it true? Yes. And if you see a little caterpillar going around the cabbage and kai lan, chase it, don't chase it away. Don't sue away. Cook it. Eat it. That's extra protein. That's good for you. Because what is the guy eating? He's eating the vegetable, isn't it?
Yes.
So when you eat the vegetable, you eat him. So just like when you eat cow, because the cow eat the grass, but we don't eat the grass, so we eat the cow. So, but when you see everything that is so nice, vegetable, without blemish, you better keep it that way. Steer it away. Unless that is hydroponic, you know, coming under those netting. That's okay. But hydroponic stuff are not so good because it's all chemical instead of, you know, you want natural, organic, pig poo and cow poo and whatever. You know, those natural kind of food to feed the vegetables. Not all those pellets and all that. I don't know, so, but anyway, you can't be choosy because nowadays organic stuff are expensive. Many of them buy organic food, they're not really organic. Organic vegetables, they're not really organic. Many of them are just lying to you. So, as I said now, if people can live at 120, 60 is the middle, right? So 55 is when in menopause. Now, in those days, you can live at 180. So 90 years old is when you actually would be dried up, more or less. 80, 90 would dry up. But so what we have is that Sarah was 65. And we know that Sarah, 65, still have the egg still there. 65, 66, 67. Abraham said, I believe hope against hope. Yes, I'll be the father of many nations. Hope against hope. I will get a son. Alright? Try hard to conceive. I don't know, maybe Sarah said, maybe I should try jamu. Or maybe some kind of herbs to stimulate my egg to come forth. And Abraham said, yeah, we should do that. I might have to take some essence of chicken. Maybe help me to, be strong so that my sperm cells will produce in abundance, will be healthy one, not die halfway when it streams up. So they might try everything. 65, 66, 67, 68. Until 12 years later, Sarah said, I'm tired. It seems that my eggs are almost gone. Why don't you take Hagar? So you just imagine, and yet Abraham says, I believe. So when you were Hagar give birth to Ishmael, Abraham never ceased from trusting in God. He still believed, but Hagar is old. I mean, Sarah is already old. Until when she was 85 years old. 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. Then God did a miracle. One thing you need to know. One thing I always trust. You see, it is not we trying to do something. We can only have trust and hope. Right? And I know that Abraham would come to realize that no matter what he do, what he try to get a son, to try to get his wife to conceive, it is useless because God has his time. But apparently God put him through a trial. So when his wife getting older and older, now wrinkled already, what is that? How is it going to happen? His wife is dried up. Everything is dried up. The skin is dry. You know when old folks, your hormone is gone, you all get dried up, huh? You all know that, no? Yes. Women dry up faster than men. Okay, what? And your and your skin, you know how it looks like? Yes. And you probably see Sarah walk a little like that. God put Abraham to a test. A test. Until when he was 99 years old, God visited him and told him, Abraham, look up to the star. Come with me if you can. And then he came and he said, this time next year, you will have a son. Wow, this time next year. I believe in the spoken word of God. That's why I said we're talking about the thunders. The seventh thunder must utter their voices to give us the rapturing faith. Abraham, hope against hope, hope against hope. Every day, sitting under the tent in his home, out there, maybe under a tree. Hope against hope, hope against hope. Come on, honey, let's try one more time. Sarah said, you kidding? I'm bored. It's dried up, don't you know? Nothing in there, no more sin, no more ache. But hope against hope, hope against hope. Until one day God came walking. That's the miracle of it all. When you least expect it, smile, you're on candy camera. No. Yeah, Abraham, God came, huh? Abraham least expected it. Is that not true? You don't expect it. That's why when you walk with God, keep walking with God, because the day will come when you least expect it, somebody will come up to you and speak the word. You don't know when it's going to happen. It could be in a bus, it could be in a train, it could be in an office. God has to do something to speak faith and quicken. And that's what happened. Abraham, this time, next year, you will have a son. And what happened to his body? His body began to change. Is that right? Sarah's body began to change. Obviously. And she's how old? 89 years old. Walking out there with Abraham, going through Egypt, went through the land where Amalek was. And when this king saw Sarah, whoa, she's beautiful. I want her for my wife. And Abraham knew that because Sarah was so beautiful at 89 years old. No longer the wrinkled old woman. That's why Abraham was scared that they might kill him. Do you understand the miracle that happened? It is God's purpose of doing it this way. The way he wants to deal with us. The way he dealt with Abraham. That's the way he dealt with Abraham. The way he wanted. The way he wished. The way he planned it. The way he had purposed it. And here we are today, we are, you know, when we have go through a little trial, we grumble. Right? Don't we grumble? Yeah, we are a society we live in. Everything is fast, fast, fast. Brother Andrew said, everything is fast. In Singapore, it's fast, high tech. Everything is right at the fingertip. Right? Everything is being spoon-fed to the people. What happened? I remember years. You know, every time there's Chinese New Year, people want new note. Right? So they queue up in the bank, they exchange, get new notes. So it's a long queue. So there is all this grumbling, and then it was reported in the paper. So what did the bank do this year? What did they do this year? They put out ATM's special machine, eh? That pops up for you to get your new note. Or even you can even go to the post office. I didn't realize that. I didn't know it. I was queuing up to make a transfer of money, Western Union, to Brother Nice when I was there. I saw the note. A man came in and said, was looking around because the queue was there. He was looking around. He said, what are you looking for? Say, I want to exchange new note. New notes? It's in the bank. No, he said, they told me that I could get it in the post office. I said, really? And sure enough, it was in the post office that you could get new notes. So everything is made convenient for you. Next time you want a new note, they'll come to the house. We are living in a society that everything is being spoon-fed. Here we have to be a trial. You know, we need to go on and put us to a trial. Life is not about everything that satisfies the flesh. Isn't that true? Because this flesh, as the Bible says, will pass away. But that which is not sin, they are eternal. So Abraham waited. Let's just finish off with that. Verse 25. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, he was so old. So I'm not dead, I'm still young. Abraham was young, you know. How many of you here are old? Let me see. Uh-oh. We are not old. We are young. You know, the faith is we trust in the Lord to keep us going. Okay? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, when God promised it, we all promise eternal life. We all promise the coming of the Lord. And yet sometimes we doubt. Is it coming? Is it coming? Am I going to heaven? Am I going to die? Am I sick? This and that. So we worry too much until we worry ourselves sick. You know what faith is, basically? Okay, when you faith, say, okay, I'm sick. Or I need a job. Then he says, Lord, I'm sick. Or I need a job. You guide me. You show me, Father. I believe that you are the healer. You can touch me. You can heal me. And I need a job. I know you will show me. And then you rest in God's word. You rest and knowing that, you know, He's the Father. He will guide you. You know what I mean? So you wait one day, 2 days. Put 10 applications for a job and not even one of them answer. And so I began to lose her faith. Ever thought that God is always trying? Jesus Christ prayed 3 times, remember? He said, Lord, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. And God never answered. God is just as quiet. Because the answer is already there. Sometimes you do not know whatever you ask of God. The answer is already there. And you don't want to accept those answers. You want it your way. Is that right? Yeah. And being, he staggered not at the promise of God through me, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's right. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And that body was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God imputed Abraham righteousness. But it wasn't written in the Bible just for the sake of that. It was written that we too would be imputed. Because why? If we have the faith of Abraham, because it is through Abraham that God is doing something. He brings forth that promised seed. See? And whoever believes in this promised seed, they also be imputed righteousness. So that is one of the mystery part. I'll close it here and we have it next week, continue the series. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and thank you for your mercy to us, O Lord, to see the work of Christ in our life. And we pray, Father, truly our life that we live, that we may glorify thee, Lord. And be like Abraham, Father, going through whatever we need to go through in this life as part of our trial. And that we still must hold fast to our faith, Lord, even if you were to tarry a little longer. But Lord, we hasten the coming of Jesus Christ. And you know in our heart, Father, this world we look at, it's just so sick. Full of problem and distress of nations and leaders are losing sight of the purpose in what they are supposed to do. And calling those things that are evil, calling it good. And that which is good, they call it evil. And thus fulfill thy holy word. So true today, Father, Lord, as we see all these prophetic signs of in the horizon, Lord, and as the horizon seems to get nearer and nearer to us, Father, we realize how near is the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, we commit all things to you today, asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.